You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Back with me now for the second hour here of CBD, driven by Liberty Ford, the great Michael Regi. Reg,
you were rolling in there in the first hour. I was ready to get the fire extinguisher out for you.
Man, Johnny Manziel, a topic that gets people excited.
Yes,
the guy
no
will
question.
Be like a magnifying glass and a spotlight on any franchise that drafts him. And a lot of people think the Browns could be taking him at number four, and one person who has the Browns at number four in his latest mock draft joins us now, and that is Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com. Dane, Johnny Manziel reportedly in the building here today in Cleveland. Ray Farmer, we know, GM, first draft. Does he pull the trigger on Manziel at four? And if the answer to your mind is yes, because that's what you have in the mock draft, what is it that you like about him, and what is it that makes you a little nervous still taking him so early?
Well, yeah, right now in my mock draft, I have Johnny Manziel at four. You know, obviously, for a franchise that has been missing that quarterback since they came back in 1999, you know, will Ray Farmer and the Browns front office feel comfortable enough with Johnny Manziel to make that move at number four? I think there's a good chance that the Browns have their choice of any quarterback at number four. I think there's a good chance Clowney goes one, Greg Robinson goes two, Khalil Mack goes three. The Browns will have their choice of any quarterback in this draft at number four if that's the direction they want to go. And right now I have Johnny Manziel. Obviously, you know, what he brings to the field, the instincts, the ultra-competitiveness, he's a smart kid. He's shown he can be a pocket passer. The biggest question is, you know, when he gets pressure, he tends to drop his eyes quickly, escape, and look to make plays outside the pocket. And in the NFL, obviously, you know, that's not ideal. You have to be able to live inside that pocket, you know, move around and kind of operate from that space. And so can Johnny adjust and develop? And, you know, he's a smart kid. I think there's a good chance he can. My biggest concern is the durability. Can he hold up for 16 games? You know, with the way he's wired, he's going to take hits. It's going to happen. He doesn't have that frame to withstand a consistent beating. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, if he goes at four, obviously it's going to bring some excitement to a franchise that hasn't had excitement at the quarterback position in a long time.
Dane, when you say, and the consensus seems to be from a lot of people right now, the top three picks as you laid out, Clowney, Robinson, Mack, and then a lot of people, the consensus at least, and I'm curious to get your take on this, if this is what you're hearing as well, a lot of teams' top five on their draft board involve, in no particular order, Clowney, Mack, Robinson, Matthews, and Watkins. And then there's a lot of confusion and varying rankings from six down. If the Cleveland Browns have an opportunity to take a quarterback at four, but yet there isn't a quarterback in their top four on the draft board, do you think that makes them a candidate to perhaps trade back, staying in the top 10, but maybe to eight at Minnesota if they have somebody, 10 to Detroit if they want to come up and get Sammy Watkins, and then still get a quarterback in the top 10 while picking up extra assets?
Well, I think that comes down to how badly do they want Johnny Manziel, or are they okay with another quarterback? If they want Johnny Manziel, I think you have to grab him at four. I don't think you can take that risk of maybe Oakland taking him at five, or possibly another team, you know, say the Minnesota Vikings at eight, maybe trading up to five and drafting him there, or taking him at eight. So, you know, I think if you want Johnny Manziel, you need to take him at four. Obviously, you know, Derek Carr, he's in the equation. I think if they want Derek Carr, maybe that's where the trade back happens. I think there's a good chance Derek Carr could be off the board at 26, their second first-round pick. So it's really, you know, the quarterbacks are the wild cards of this first round. They usually are in every draft, but it's especially true in this year. We don't have that Andrew Luck number one type of player who's going to go number one, but we have these talented quarterbacks that are really, you know, it's kind of pick your flavor. Different teams will, you know, really like these different quarterbacks because of what they bring to the field. Obviously, Johnny Manziel brings a very different skill set than Derek Carr or Blake Bortles or Teddy Bridgewater. There's very different flavors, and so each team's going to differ on what they prefer. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. If they want Johnny Manziel, I think the right move is to stay a four and grab him there.
Dane Brugler, our guest. Great to have conversation with him. NFLDraftScout.com analyst. Dane, it's Michael Reggie. Great to talk to you, and very pleased for your success. I want to stay on this Johnny Manziel theme for a second. I'm going to make you Ray Farmer, or Browns GM, or any GM for that matter. You mentioned the want when feeling pressure and feeling rush for Manziel in the pocket to immediately drop his eyes and start to ad lib. Would that be your biggest question, Dane, in trying to get this young man to sell you on why, right from him, why that he'll be successful within the pocket in the National Football League and be able to adhere to that system? Is that your biggest, and should it be the biggest question mark?
In terms of the on-field ability, that is my biggest concern. I think he has enough arm strength that you want. His instincts, they're there. The decision-making and ball placement, he takes a little more risk than you want. You'd like to see him, take a little bit better care of the football. There are a lot of times when he relied on Mike Evans, just tossing it up there. And he knew Mike Evans would box out defenders, go up and come down with it. So, that's obviously a concern as well. But, I think what I mentioned earlier and what you just mentioned about, his ability to, operate from the pocket, that is kind of where I want him to see him succeed. I was at his pro day and down in College Station, and you saw him throw every throw from the route tree. You saw him take every snap from under center. That's something he did not do at Texas A&M. So he took every snap from under center. But at the same time, there wasn't anything that I really learned from the pro day that I didn't already know from watching him on film. I think everything he showed, besides taking snaps under center, everything he showed at the pro day was something that I could point to on film and said, if he made this throw here against LSU or, this and that. So that is the biggest concern. But really, the other concern is, when you're drafting a quarterback, you want to be able to point to someone in the NFL and say, well, he can have this type of career. With Johnny Manziel, who do you point to in the NFL who has a similar type of skill set and has had success? I mean, maybe a Jeff Garcia, maybe a mix of a Michael Vick. What quarterback in the NFL who has had success do you point to? And so I think that's another, for right or wrong, that's still something that goes into the equation, something you think of. When I think of a Derek Carr, I think of a Matthew Stafford type of prospect.
Sure.
He doesn't have the tolerance to take pressure, but he has the golden arm to get away with a lot of things. So, but all of that, and then, I have to mention the durability because I think that is a big concern. Can he hold up? He barely made it through the SEC season last year. In the NFL, bigger, faster, stronger defenses, 16-game schedule, possibly even longer. Can he make it through that, with healthy or healthy enough to be able to stay on the field? So those would be my main questions.
And certainly I think those are very valid questions. And one of the things that's come up today and a lot of the calls that we've taken about Johnny Manziel is we're focusing on him, given that he's quote-unquote in the building, according to reports today for his official visit with the Cleveland Browns, is that he's got the leadership, that he's the guy who's not afraid of the spotlight. And the perception, at least amongst the callers here, and I'm curious to get your take on it because I would disagree with them, is that Teddy Bridgewater does not have those things. That Teddy Bridgewater is not the leader. That Teddy Bridgewater does not have any kind of an it factor to be a clutch leader in the moment when your team needs it the most. I disagree with that, and I know you have Teddy Bridgewater still as your top-ranked quarterback. So talk to me a little bit about that, and what do you think about that narrative?
Oh, no, absolutely. I think you look at Johnny Manziel, he's a gritty competitor. I think you see that confidence. You see that moxie. He feeds off the big stage. He has a short memory, doesn't allow mistakes to linger. He rallies the troops, and he leads them down the field. I think you see that. With Teddy Bridgewater, I see a lot of similar things from a leadership standpoint. He shows up in the biggest games. You look at it, the past two bowl games against Florida 2 years ago in the Sugar Bowl, against Miami this past year. I mean, he showed up on the big stage and he performed. I think what turns some people off is he has his attitude. It's a little introverted. He doesn't have that boisterous, kind of rally the troop kind of attitude. And that's not a bad thing. It's just it's not as evident when you're watching him on TV or, you know, unless you can really be around him and know his personality.
Akin to like Russell Wilson, would you say? Because Russell Wilson wasn't a guy that they said was the fiery rah-rah leader, but at the same time, he is a quiet leader of his team.
Right. And, you know, yeah, Russell Wilson, yeah, he leads by example, and he's just kind of – he's a guy that when he walks in the room, you kind of, you know, get in line. He's that type of presence. I think Bridgewater doesn't have that quite that type of presence to him. But at the same time, he's a guy that leads by example. He's battled adversity in his life. When he was 14, you know, his mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and that's something that, you know, he worked his butt off to make sure, you know, she had his full support and, you know, battling both football, both schooling, and then also everything going on at home. So this is a kid that has battled adversity. And, you know, it's shown it on the field that he can be that type of leader. Now, like I said, I don't think he has that kind of introverted attitude where that might turn some people off. But at the same time, that's not something I'm worried about. I've seen him show up in the big game. I see him, you know, if you watch him on the field, he's, you know, pointing out, you know, where his teammates need to be. You know, he's lifting them up. So definitely that's not a narrative that, you know, I will support at all. Bridgewater, to me, absolutely deserving of a first-round pick and a guy who I think is going to start a lot of games in the league in his future.
Hope you're enjoying Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com joining us right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura is here. I'm Michael Regai. Dane, let's move on in the first round. You know, Nathan and I, last couple of days, we've been very big proponents of the Browns getting a physical, rock-solid corner opposite Joe Caden that also has coverage skills. And you have the Browns, if there's no trade involved, selecting one of those in Virginia Tech's Kyle Fuller at number 26. We like Fuller. I think Justin Gilbert may be at least consensus the best. Also like Darqueze Dennard from Michigan State for all the reasons I just mentioned. But could Dennard possibly slide down that far, or is that almost an impossibility given his stature around the league?
No, I think there's a good chance we see Dennard go somewhere in that 15 to 26 range. So I think 26 kind of might be his floor in terms of where he could go. He could go as high as the Steelers at 15, maybe even higher. But he will go somewhere in that range, so it is possible. In my opinion, you have three cornerbacks that are kind of the top guys in this draft. You got Darqueze Dennard, Kyle Fuller, and Jason Verrett out of TCU. To me, Justin Gilbert's a second-round pick. I know he's going to be the first cornerback drafted. He'll probably go in the top 12, top 13 pick.
Dane, why so? Because he might even be a top 10. So why so do you feel you don't rate him that highly?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at him on the hoof, he has the size. He's over 6 foot. The length, his arms are over 33 inches. And he has the ball skills. He has the return ability. He's a fast athlete. He ran a 4.35 at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch him on film, he's a guy, his footwork is a mess. You really need to work. He's going to have to fix his footwork, his technique. He plays too high. He just have a lot of technical issues there that, you know, need to be worked out. And so, to me, he's a guy that you love the physical traits. You love the, you know, kind of the athleticism, the size, the length. But at the same time, the technique needs a lot of work. And so I'm not going to take a guy like that high. Now, he's going to go that high because, you know, a team's going to, you know, believe they can kind of, you know, change his technique and work on that. And it is coachable. It's not like he can't be fixed. But if I'm taking a cornerback that high, I want a guy that I know what he's bringing to the field. I know what he's going to be like in the NFL. And so that's me. That Dennard, Fuller, and Verrett are those guys that I think will go in that top 25, top 26 somewhere. And I have Fuller to the Browns right now. To me, you know, he's talk about a competitor. That's Kyle Fuller. The game just comes very natural to him. The way he can bait throws from the quarterback, he's rangy, light-footed. I love the quick movements. He has long arms as well, 32 7/8. So, you know, Kyle Fuller is a guy that if the Browns can land him at 26, that'd be an outstanding pick and a guy you could plug in at the number two cornerback spot opposite Hayden.
Dane, you know all of these guys, and folks, this guy is an absolute monster. He just put out a draft guide with over 162,000 1,000 words of content on every prospect. He gives you their grades, what they're good at, where they struggle, every position, so you can really be prepared on draft day. When you see a guy drafted by the Browns, you can go look him up and say, all right, this is what they got there. And if you go to myfootballnews.com, it's in the featured products on the left-hand side. I just tweeted the link as well. My Twitter, of course, at Nathan Zagura. It's Dane Brugler's 2014 NFL Draft Guide. He's giving it away for only $4.99. Do yourself a favor. Get educated. It's unbelievable. Dane, talk about this labor of love and what people will get if I've left anything out.
Well, I know. I appreciate it. And this is basically the last 10 months of my life rolled up into a 125-page PDF document. And, you know, I have full extensive profiles for over 300 players. And really, you know, growing up, you know, reading draft previews and all that, you know, I made mental notes. Okay, what is this missing that I'd love to read as an interested fan? And so, you know, everything from, you know, each prospect, you know, where they're from, their birthday, their pronunciation, how do you say their name correctly, all the combine numbers, measurable, you know, when they were a true freshman, how many games did they start? So, you know, each year goes, you know, games played, games started, all full stats. How were they recruited? Were they a three-star or a five-star recruit? What other college programs recruited them? So everything, including full strength, full weaknesses, you know, where I project them, the grades, basically everything you could possibly want. And yeah, like you mentioned, $5. If you go to,
we got to get you some businessman counseling, Dane. This thing's worth like at least $25. It is. I spent five hours with it yesterday already, and I can't get enough, and I'm just scratching the surface.
Well, and you know, I'm not the best businessman. I'll put that out there right now. To me, and you mentioned it, when the Browns draft, you know, Nevin lost it in the fifth round, I want Browns fans to be able to go to this document and be like, okay, well, who is this kid? Oh, okay, he's born in Jamaica. You know, he played at Utah State. You know, I want them to be able to know everything about Nevin Lawson. Oh, okay, 31 and a half inch arms, ran a 4.47 at the combine. You know, that's what I want. So, you know, it's very affordable. I made sure it was. So I know my bosses weren't very happy about the price point that I wanted it at. But, you know, I want this to be affordable. I want people to, you know, be able to see this and access it. So, you know, I hope everyone takes advantage of it.
It certainly is awesome. Again, check that out right now. I tweeted out the link at Nathan Zagura. Follow Dane at DP Brugler. And of course, it's at myfootballnews.com. Dane Brugler's 2014 NFL Draft Guide. Dane, thanks for the insight. And I'm just going to leave you with a yes or no question. Is there a quarterback in your mind worth the fourth pick in the draft?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know whose top quarterback is? That's Theodore Bridgewater, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Dane. Appreciate it, bro.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Dane.
All right. We will be back. We're going to go back to the phone lines. I like that because I think he's a smart guy. I think he knows what he's talking about. There we go. That was affirmation.
The man that put out 162,000 words.
It is crazy, right?
That's affirmation, man.
That is that. I'll take it. I'll take that affirmation from Dane. Why not? We want to hear from you, though. Manziel Mania, that's been the topic. You've been lighting up the phone lines. We're going back to them briefly. We'll get a call or two in before Jordan Cameron, Pro Bowl tight end of the Cleveland Browns, joins us here on CBD, ESPN 850 WKNR.